Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's Felger and Maserati, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. We've got, it's a Friday, Maz. You know what that means?
Agenda-free.
Agenda-free Friday. You set the agenda with your wonderful phone calls. We have no agenda, and you'll be able to tell over the 4 hours. No agenda here.
Wonderful phone calls?
All set by your wonderful, insightful, concise phone calls on good landlines.
Not this week.
And if not, you're on your cell phone and you're holding it like a pizza. So what we do is we open up the phones, we release the hounds immediately, which they have already been released.
Just as an aside, that changes Monday. You know, we're going to have a new rule.
Huh.
You can't hold it like a pizza while you're driving anymore.
Right, that goes into effect Sunday.
So let's burn that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah, don't call from your car.
How does this? I don't have my headset on, so I can't hear it. Well, when you talk in your car, how does that sound?
It depends on your car.
Yeah.
But yeah. I would tell you, my car sounds good.
Mine
your
too.
Car sounds good. So does Murray's. Half the donkeys who call us? I don't know. I don't have high expectations there.
All right, we'll figure this out on Monday. Today, you're holding it like a pizza as you're driving. I don't care if you have to hold the steering wheel with your knees. You hold it like a pizza and you give us a call at 617-779-0985. Okay? Anything you want from the week, anything we've gotten to or have yet to get to, I should tell you that Agenda-Free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose some new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Who wants to go first with their opening thought?
I'll go first. Murray, you want to go?
I'm ready.
Oh, he's
yeah,
ready.
Sure.
All right,
yeah,
good.
No, I didn't think I was going to be able to get in here in time. So I want to thank David Ortiz for solidifying one of my longstanding beliefs down at spring training, and that belief is this. Everyone in life will end up disappointing you. Yesterday, down at Fort Myers, my one-time favorite Red Sox player of all time turned into full-on John Henry puppet as he continued to downplay the Mookie Betts trade while also trying to play up some like the return was some kind of haul when, again, the centerpiece, Alex Verdugo, who he couldn't shut up about. Alex Verdugo, the centerpiece of the Hall, has a fracture in his back, hasn't had any baseball activity since last summer, and allegedly filmed an underage girl getting beat up by two other women and put it up on Snapchat. But what a haul, David. Love you. Hell of a trade. So keep dancing for these pukes that helped cover up the shooting in the Dominican Republic that nearly took your life. I get it. Quid pro quo. They flew you back here. They saved your life, so you're going to dance for them. But the thing that really got me is he joined the rest of the baby baseball brethren by piling on Mike Fiers. And he, of course, is the guy that helped get the sign-stealing scandal started, and he called him a snitch. Here's the clip. Jimmy? Oh, great. Well, anyway, he called him a snitch, because why would the computers work on it?
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it, and let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season? When it was going on. Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. Nah. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why don't you, that's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on? People is not stupid.
You were a steroid guy, dude. Like, I would think you would. It's just, he's just one of these other guys that he looks like such a fraud. And he's nothing more now than just a PR hack for Rob Manfred, the MLBPA, and the Red Sox. I thought he came off so bad with this yesterday. And so I, you know, thank him for the memories on the field. One of the great postseason performers of all time. Had the most fantastically timed F-bomb in the history of swearing. But he's not Big Poppy anymore to me. Like, he's just a big fraud. I thought he was awful yesterday down at spring training.
He's really part of Red Sox ownership now. I mean, am I wrong to say that?
No, he's a PR flack for the team.
I mean, that's really what he is. He speaks when he speaks, you're hearing what ownership believes.
That's your opening thought.
Okay, so mine relates to Jonathan Lucroy, who reported to the Red Sox yesterday. And a lot of people don't even know who Jonathan Lucroy is. So let me just tell you, he's a veteran catcher. They've signed him to a minor league deal. He may or may not make the team. But the reason why he's relevant today is that he did play a chunk of time in the American League West and competed against the Houston Astros. So he made a comment yesterday that stuck out to me for a couple of reasons. And we have the shorter version of the two. So Jimmy Stewart, our producer, fire away.
Everybody in baseball, especially in that division that played against them, we were all aware of the Astros doing those things. And it was up to us to, you know, outsmart them, I guess you could say, which is kind of hard when you have a computer program that breaks your signs. You know, we actively change signs. Almost every pitch, we were changing signs.
Okay, so a couple of things. First of all, you have maintained all along, Mike, that one of the real problems in this whole thing was that it was dragging the game to a stop. He admits it.
Every pitch, even with no one on base.
He admits it. He says it right then and there. We changed them almost every pitch. We changed our signs almost every freaking pitch because of what the Astros were doing. Okay, that's one. Number two, and correct me if I'm wrong here because God knows I miss stuff all the time. Computer program stealing your signs? Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah. That was part of the Wall Street Journal story last week.
Okay, I missed that.
It started with the nerds. Oh, yeah. Go back and read this.
So, no, I knew it started with the nerds, but I may have additional information on this that I've heard that baseball teams have poked around about using artificial intelligence to steal pitches.
Oh, God.
Okay? So this is the kind of thing that I wonder now was going on in Houston. And I don't know this for sure. Like, I interpreted it as, I knew the thing started with the nerds. That part I knew. And that, you know, this is how they were going to implement it. I always got the impression, though, they had a camera trained. Someone was watching, saw the signs, decoded them, started beating the trash can. What if there was actually a software that decoded what the signs were, artificial intelligence stealing the signs? And I don't know whether the Astros were doing this or not. What I do know is that teams have talked about it. Okay, that much I know. So I feel like there are still layers potentially to this story. Maybe they're not that deep that we're going to find out about. But when you have a veteran catcher saying we had to change the signs every pitch, wow, did this thing run a hell of a lot deeper than anyone really... It still doesn't. We still don't know how deep it went.
Okay, that's Maz's opening thoughts. We're in on the MLB cheating scandal. A lot more on that. I want to hit on later on the heavyweight fight this weekend. I think it's an important weekend for boxing, for heavyweight boxing. I think these guys that you're going to see on Saturday night should be bankable stars and should bring people back to the sport. And if there's a dud of a fight, I think there's stakes for the sport of boxing this weekend. But I think there's a chance here for these guys to sort of light a spark back to the sport, because the sport has always needed heavyweights. And I feel the division is back, and I feel these guys are entertaining in the ring, away from the ring, and worth your time, and pretty good fighters to boot, most of them. And I think there's stakes. I think this fight's going to bring people to the TV on Saturday night. And if it sucks, if it's another Mayweather Pacquiao, then, you know, I think it leads people to say, well, good thing I've been ignoring this sport because there's no use to it. But if it's a good one, maybe you'll see that these guys are actually worth your time. But I also want to weigh in on the Bruins trade. And I'll do it with the caller because we take calls in this first segment. If you're ready, Andre Kosh from the Anaheim Ducks for David Backes, a first-round pick and a defense prospect. Bruins are swallowing a quarter of Backes' salary. Mike in the car, your thoughts on it.
Hey, boys, how's it going?
Good, what do you got?
Just wanted to see what your guys' thoughts were on the Kosh trade. Honestly, I love it. I know he's a little injury-prone. He gets concussions, what feels like all the time. He's a top-six winger. I think he's going to help the offense. Obviously, I think they needed a little defensive help, but I like it. I don't think they gave up too much. I love, even though back, if they still got to pay 25%, that was a great unload. Just want to hear your thoughts. Thank you.
Okay, Mike, I'm not sure he's holding it like a pizza there. That may be a precursor of things to come. I'm talking to his car. I don't like it.
I don't love it either.
I don't like it. But I'll just say up front, I don't know the player. I mean, I wasn't aware of the player until the rumors came up with him a couple weeks ago. So, and it's not even like I've gone back and watched film on Andre Kosh. I don't know. Little undersized. Czech. I like that he's a right shot, right wing. Okay, and he's Czech, so maybe there's a natural thing there with Krejci. Got it. He did score 20 goals a couple of years ago. He does have term. I think he's $2.5 million, something like that.
Yeah, that's about right.
So he's got a year left. So I like that. I like that it's term. I like that he's a right shot. I like that he scored 20 goals. That's the only time he's done it. I don't like the concussion history. That's a horrible thing, not a good thing. A first-round pick to get rid of Backus is money I hate. You know, it's like, boy, you better re-sign Krug now or do something next year with that money if you give up a first-round pick for that, because Kasha on his own is not worth a first-round pick. So this is one of these. But, you know, it's great to be a talk show host. Let me see how he looks. Let me see how it works out, and then I'll tell you if I like it or not. I'll either praise Don Sweeney or rip him. And that's exactly what happened last year. I didn't like Marcus Johansson. And turned out, good player, good move, helped you, good trade. I can say that now. The day it was made, I couldn't say it, so I'll say the same thing about Kosh. It's one of these things I'm just going to have to see.
Okay, so I want to rephrase what I said when I say I don't love it. I mean, I'm fine with it, but my ultimate takeaway, they still need more. It's not enough. And so, now, look, maybe the guy's great. Again, obviously, they're banking on the Krejci-Pasternak element. Maybe they tap into this guy, wants to play with them or something. I don't know. They've got him for another year, and then I think after that, he's a UFA. Mm-hmm. So they could even keep him beyond that, right? Beyond next season. So, like, there's a chance here that he'll be here a while, which is great. Can he play on the second line? Is that really what this guy is?
I don't know. He was a seventh-round pick. He's sort of out of nowhere. Like... You know, I don't know. He's not bona fide, is what I would say. But, you know, what do I know? I'm not watching Anaheim Ducks hockey. I'm just, I'll be upfront about that. The profile, I don't totally love.
Yeah, Whittle.
Was it?
6 foot, 190?
Five? Yeah. Well, that's average.
He's not tiny. Yeah,
no,
he's not tiny.
That's not undersized. It ain't oversized. I mean, that ain't no power forward. But he's not a little guy. So, all right, Don, let's see what you got. You nailed it last year, out of nowhere. Let's see what this is. It's just going to have to be one of those. Ryan in Rochester on the fight. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys. I'll keep it short and sweet. Big fight tomorrow. I'm excited for it. Who you guys got?
Okay, so I want Wilder. I'm hoping for Wilder. I am surprised that he's the favorite because I thought Fury clearly outboxed him in the first one. And I think Fury is a better technical fighter, even though he doesn't even really look that way. He's just sort of hard to hit. He's slippery for being as big and oafy as he is. But I don't know, maybe because it's here in the U.S. versus the U.K. I don't know. Fury fights a lot here, though. It's not like it's Anthony Joshua who's never fought over here or anything. Like, Fury's used to fighting in the States. He spends a lot of time here. So I don't know why that would be. I don't get why Wilder is a favorite. Unless I heard Tommy Atlas this morning on ESPN say that there's a rumble out there that Fury's put on weight and he's a little heavy. And that may be a sign that they look at and go, oh, where's his head at? Because this is a guy who's had head problems, which we talked about yesterday. And others who observed that press conference the other day think that Wilder got the better of him, just the trash talk. And the look on Fury's eyes didn't, like, some people looked at that and said, ooh, there's something not right. So there might be a little rumble there with Fury in terms of where's his head, how's his training been, where's his mental health, blah, 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 that thing. Because there's a component with him with that. And if that's the case, then Wilder, you know, I can see why he's a favorite. Otherwise, unfortunately, as much as I want this to be a big brawl with someone knocking someone out in the fourth round or fifth round, I think Fury's going to win on points.
Yeah, I'm probably going with my heart. I'm picking Wilder. I find the guy wildly entertaining. Wild. And I think it's better for boxing if he wins this fight.
You bet.
So, like,
a undefeated U.S. American heavyweight that's worth your time.
Right.
When's the last time we had that?
And I was going to say, not just because he's American, though that's part of it, for sure. He's just, what a personality on that guy. Like, and not only that, he's chiseled from granite. He could freaking knock you 6 feet off the ground. Like, I love everything about him. I think he's a great watch.
But I think it's important for the sport in this country, which is all I care about.
Sure.
I mean, it's been big in Europe the whole time. Like, people in the Europe and across the pond were big into Klitschko and all these guys, and we could give two poops. If it's an American, if it's back to being an American division, I think that helps. So anyway, we're off and running on Agenda Free Friday. We continue with your calls right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Zellner.
visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're member FDIC.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stop it.
It is what it is. You know, we had a good offer for him, but I understand that he saw what I was going to get more. So I think the Red Sox decision with him was perfect because you're just not going to let a great player go after the season. You know, you before the season even begins, you try to get something on exchange that you can have for a long period of time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for both sides, I think it was really good.
Yeah, more of that for you, Murray. Yeah, for both sides, it was great. This is a guy who caterwauled every time he had a hit taken away or an RBI taken away. Every year with the contract, blasting baseball, blasting management. Now he's here.
Smashing phones, interrupting manager press conferences. Oh,
seriously, though.
And now they let their best player go for money. It's a great deal for both sides.
I mean, like, unbelievable.
Tremendous.
And I'll tell you, I'm with Murray, though, too. The rip on Mike Fiers, you got to be kidding me. So what just because this guy had the – everybody's pissed off that the Astros cheated – but Mike Fiers is a rat? Which one do you want?
Right.
I'll take Mike Fiers every day of the week.
That's what I spent all day yesterday talking about. It's and Chris Gasper put the quote in his column today, too. Tony Clark was not going to let baseball punish the players without a grievance. He said it. That we were, even outside of the immunity we were granted, the rules did not allow baseball to punish our players, and we weren't going to allow it. So the players are ripping the Astros. They're ripping Manfred for not punishing the Astros. Yet, if he tried to punish the Astros players, the players would have grieved it.
Exactly right.
Yet, they're beating up Rob Manfred. Oh, you frauds.
Totally right.
Oh, you frauds.
I mean, again, like the union, they want it both ways. The baseball players union has way too much power. Way too much. Football doesn't have enough.
Crying about lost MVPs, lost World Series. It's a medal trophy. Yet, if Manfred tried to punish the Astros players, Tony Clark said he wasn't going to allow it.
And the other thing with Fiers, too, so I don't know if you've heard.
And now, I'm sorry, now you're taking out death threats on Mike Fiers?
I was just about to say. So, of all people, you'd think David Ortiz might want to relate there a little bit. Oh, I don't know, considering what just recently happened to you. Just a thought. But now, Major League Baseball is talking about having to get extra security for this guy. And he's, you know, he's saying, look, it sucks I'm having to deal with this. I'm keeping my Astros ring. People saying, give the ring back. You're a fraud. Like, Ortiz yesterday, I just thought it came off so bad.
Oh, just brutal. All right, anyway, back to your phones on Agenda Free Friday. Adam in Rhode Island, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I'm calling about the sign-stealing thing. So there's actually a guy on YouTube, Mark Rover. He left his job at NASA to make YouTube videos, and he made this one 7 months ago about this exact thing where he takes a phone and he writes an app to look at the signs, and you basically input them. So like an ear would be A, a nose would be B, and you create the combination. And then you put in the result at the end, and it'll say, and after a while of doing this, it'll eventually figure out exactly what their signs are, and then it'll tell you in real time what they're calling as they do it.
Adam, it is truly the apocalypse. I talk a lot about
isn't that unbelievable?
The impending apocalypse and the end of the... No, we're actually in the middle of it. Think of that. Left his job at NASA to make YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Left his job at NASA to make Fakakta YouTube videos.
I saw something yesterday, or late last week, a survey, you know, talking to high school kids, what do they want to be when they grow up, and it's influencers. Like, that's what they want.
And what he's doing there, one of his videos, is a sign-stealing app.
Yeah. Yeah.
That says everything we need to know about our society, the world, and the sport of baseball.
Absolutely. Again, like, this is where it's going. Technology will ultimately take us down. It will, I'm telling you.
It's absolutely killing that sport. Frank and Sterling on Tom Brady on an Agenda Free Friday. Hi, Frank.
Hey, real quick. I think that Brady was gone at the time he signed his contract. Everybody thinks the Patriots gave up the whole right to franchise him. But if you look at the top five QB prices, we're talking $33.5 million. There's no way they were going to do that. So they gave up nothing. So I think they just agreed to part ways at that time. And then you look at all the evidence of, you know, the house sale, house going up for sale, the moving and everything. He's known since that point in time that he's going to be elsewhere.
Oh, everything's pointing to him gone.
I mean, that's what I feel.
Everything is pointing to him gone.
The only thing I'll disagree with when he says that they gave up nothing. No, they gave up the right to trade him. I mean, they could have franchised him and traded him and gotten something for him.
That's right.
Which is probably why Belichick was pissed. And again, Kraft then looked at Bill and said, oh, you mean like Jimmy Garoppolo? Well, you got a second-round pick for him. Like, you know, so as if to say, shut up, Bill. You screwed us on the Garoppolo deal. If I want to screw us on Brady, at least he was here for 20 years.
All signs have pointed to it for a year. The caller's right. You know, going back to that last negotiation, put that in air quotes, negotiation. Everything has pointed to it. Can Tom Brady go through with it? That's the question. I have my doubts. I have my doubts. Dennis and Rockland on the Red Sox. Go, Dennis.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, wanted to talk a little bit about Brock Holt. Now, I know he wasn't a superstar, but here's a guy who didn't have the best talent. And you guys kicked him around a little bit on this show over the years. But he gave an honest day's work, was integral as part of that championship.
Integral?
You know, and he...
Integral?
The guy played seven positions. He made less money in his entire career than that fat bag of crap, Sandoval, you know?
Okay, so he's better than Pablo Sandoval. Congratulations. Okay, hey, Dennis, you know what Brock Holt is? He's a perfect brewer, is what he is.
And you know why there's pushback and he gets crap on this show? Is when people call up and say he was an integral part of the World Series championship. Like, right. Come on, stop it. Don't overrate him. Same with stupid Jackie Bradley Jr.
In the LCS and World Series, he went 3-for-21.
Stu, do you want to do it or should I? He played seven positions. Should I do it?
He played seven positions.
Whee! Oh, whee! He played all over the diamond. Whee! Like that, who cares?
Yeah, but Felger, he was my favorite player.
What does that mean? He played seven positions. He sucked at all of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, so what's the difference?
Which one was he good at?
Whee!
And he hit for the cycle by hitting a home run off a backup catcher.
He's a nice little player at the end of your bench on a good team. You know, he's a perfect brewer. Like, that's what he is. He should be a mid-market guy. Like, that perfect.
Brock Holt.
I'll take him. But he's the end of your bench guy, and he's fine. Like, but you should be, that's an interchangeable guy. The way people overrated Brock Holt, it was like the Celtics fans with their bench. Like,
yeah, I think they're going to miss the Brock star more than Mookie.
They lost him over $250,000.
See you later. Mm-hmm. Goodbye. He's a utility guy. Goodbye. I can go find one on a street corner or at your local radio station.
Or Pawtucket.
Tony and Lynn on that Bruins trade. What'd you think of it?
Looking at it, I kind of really came to the conclusion you did. I think the best case is he's going to be like Marcus Johansson if he stays healthy. And, you know, the field command, at least you get rid of Backus and you need that for crew, but you're already covered all that. So I'd just like to say quickly, Kemba Walker out again tonight. They drained fluid from his knee and injected something else in his knee. You know, the first year of a big multi-year contract, this guy seems to be missing a lot of time.
The aggravation is that he played in the All-Star game.
I mean, like 30 minutes.
He played 30 minutes in that stupid-ass game, and now he's not ready to go to start the second half. This is common in the NBA. We saw it with Kyrie Irving, but I think a lot of these guys, the NBA player loves that stupid game and that stupid freaking weekend. And so it's like it's almost like they do load management to play that game at the sacrifice of regular season action. You've seen it with other players, too.
It's unbelievable.
It's so ridiculous.
I mean, Jones was talking about it on the midday show today. He was getting grief for it,
yeah,
for criticizing Kemba Walker.
And he shouldn't, because and I hadn't heard the comments from Kemba Walker. They played him on the show today, and he was like, well, the game was tight, and they needed me, so I had to be the All-Star game. Who
cares?
What
are you talking about, Team Giannis?
Seriously.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Oh, these guys love it, man. They absolutely love that weekend. They must be, I mean, that must be like a Roman orgy there or something. honestly, the way those guys treat that weekend, it's like every other sport. The players can't be done with it enough. And, you know, NHL players take suspensions and tens of thousands of dollars in fines, and football players can't be bothered to go anywhere near the thing. Baseball players, the private planes are warming in the third inning to get the hell out of there. The NBA player takes off regular season games to make sure he's fresh.
I thought you were going to say takes off his clothes.
And then, I mean, honestly, because you know it can't just be the basketball. Like, they got to have something going on there that's ridiculous.
Oh, it's groupie central is what you hear.
It's recruiting.
I mean, whatever it is.
Last year, Kyrie Irving recruited Kevin Durant to go play in Brooklyn.
I just can't wrap my head
two
around
number
it.
One. Two, all right. Two max slots.
Hoop orgy.
Seriously. It's a Roman freaking orgy there. Those guys must be, there's some something going on there that weekend for those guys to be that, you know, I'll say this figuratively, horny to get there, because it is. It's like they sacrifice everything for that damn stupid weekend.
It is. It's a joke. The idea that a player would miss a regular season game because he played in the All-Star game is a freaking joke.
It's routine.
Oh my God.
Kemba Walker ain't the only one. I see it all the time.
It's a fun weekend.
Well, we continue with your great phone calls here on an agenda-free Friday after the update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
In its simplest terms, this is a better deal that is on the table right now than what the players played under for the last decade. There have been moves with regard to top-tier current players. There have been moves with regard to middle-tier, lower-tier, rookies, former players, future players. Working conditions, I mean, the union was able to get the league to move on a number of issues, maybe even all of the issues that you could have conceivably thought that they would move on. But like Tom says, the question is, did they move enough? And for those players that are now going to push against this deal, the question is going to be, well, if the owners are so desperate to do this right now, to get this done well in advance of when they're going back to do their TV contracts, why aren't we hitting them harder? Why aren't we asking for more? And there's even some that are going to say, well, if they're so eager to do that right now, it must mean that it's not as good of a deal for us as it could be, because they want to push this thing through. So that's what you're going up against if you're part of the union, part of the player representation that wants to get this thing done right now. And again, there is no hard deadline, and really, we look at the start of the league year next month as like that's when it's got to get done by. Conceivably, they could even push that back a little bit to give themselves more time. So a lot of this stuff is fluid, but you could tell from the tone of the owners yesterday that they want this thing done now. Otherwise, they're not interested in redoing this or talking any further, at least not this year.
Okay, and it doesn't, the players are voting on it today, the union reps are, and it doesn't look great for passage of the CBA today. The Players Advisory Committee. I don't know if they exactly call it that, but it's an 11-man committee that then recommends to the 32 team reps to vote before they even go to the full player body.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts with this 11-man committee voted 6-5 to recommend voting against it. Now, that's not a final vote. That's just a recommendation to the 32 team reps. Then when the 32 team reps get it, they give it to the full team body and et cetera, et cetera. So it still has to go to these votes. But the recommendation was against, narrowly against. And I just feel there's too much sentiment against it. It doesn't seem like a great deal for the players, but here's the point, Maz. Could it get worse? You know, is this as good as they're going to get? And I think there's a case to be made for that. Because the closer you get to the deadline, the closer you get to lockout strike, you know the players cave.
Right.
And you know the closer the players get to actually losing money, the harder line the owners can take, because the more the players' union is going to break ranks. They've never in our lifetime, in the history of the league, been able to stay together as a union.
Correct. 2011 just was proof of this.
I mean, going back to you know, when we were kids, that big strike in the 80s, you know, half the players came back. And you had like the Dallas Tony Dorsett and Randy White came back and played against replacement players for the Redskins. It was just a total mess. They couldn't keep the ranks. They've never been able to hold ranks. So the closer you get to the deadline of the CBA expiring, the more likely the owners are to take even a harder line because they know the players are going to cave. So is it a bad deal? Yeah, probably. Could it get worse? Yeah, probably. So that's what the players have to weigh.
I mean, so again, this is, we've had a lot of union talk this week, and the NFL players, just to me, don't get treated well enough. And so, but the problem is, it's because they break. They break. And I'm sorry, if I were them, I'd vote against this. That 250K rule, which you're going to get to in a minute, to me, that's a deal breaker.
Overrated.
Well, I know why you're going to say it's overrated, but go ahead.
Well, no. So first of all, the $250,000 rule is this. And they say if you're under contract currently and we go to a 17-game schedule, your game check for that week will be no greater than $250,000, which means basically if you make more than $4 million a year around there, that you're making less on the 17th game than you would under contract.
Correct.
Okay. So you think that's a bad deal?
I do. Well, I mean, to me, everything should go up on a percentage basis. And what a coincidence. You know who that affects most? The highest paid players in the league. That saves the owners the most money. No. The deal is the deal. If you're going to gain additional revenue by an extra week of programming by 1/17th, then we get 1/17th on top of it.
So I agree. Like, that to me would be, as a player, to like, that's an easy counter. Like, no, not 250. You're going to pay me 1/17th. 1/18th, because we'll go to 18 pay week. I think they get paid over 17 weeks now. Now they'll be paid over 18 weeks. So you just, you know, give me 1/18th more. Like, I think that's an easy counter, except it's going to affect so few guys, Maz. The 17-game schedule is not going to be instituted probably until 2022. So how many players currently under contract are going to have their exact same contract terms in place in 3 years?
The high-paid ones.
Very, very few. Maybe like a handful. Like, they're so... These players are just constantly being restructured. Constantly. Especially the highest-paid guys. They're always being restructured. And there are so few guys who sign a contract in 1 year and then 2-3 years later are playing under the exact same terms of what they've signed. They've always restructured. This is why the cap is such crap. Because it's just constantly being restructured. So any player who signs between now and 2022 will have the new 17-game schedule accounted for.
Sure.
And so it's only for those guys who play under the exact same terms as they've signed for now in 2 or 3 years when this is instituted. I don't think it's going to affect hardly anyone.
Okay, then why do the owners need it?
So to me, it's a stupid red herring for them to even put in there.
I mean, I heard the premise of it to me is deceitful.
Insulting.
Yes. Yes. It's sleazy. It's sleazy.
So wait a minute. I make $8 million a year. I make $16 million a year. But when we get to the 17th game, you're going to only pay me as if I were making $4 million a year for that 17th game.
Correct.
Go F yourself.
Like, I hear that and go, what is that? So what? So you can pocket some more money in the final week?
I just think from a practical matter, the guy that's making $16 million a year, who's scheduled to make $16 million a year in 2022, will have restructured by then.
Okay, so again...
And they'll be able to account for it in that restructure.
And I'm not saying you're wrong about that. Then why do you need it at all?
It's just, it's a stupid, insulting thing for them to put in there in the first place.
Oh, what a weaselly, rotten, sneaky, crappy thing to do. We're going to expand the schedule, but by the way, if you're a high-paid player, you're not going to make any more money because that will actually cost us.
So the owners gave up a lot of token little things. I don't know if this means anything to the bot. We'll find out. Minimum salaries are going up almost $100,000. Minimum salaries.
So that's good.
So the lower-paid guy gets paid more. There's going to be two more roster spots per team, so they go from 53 to 55. Two more practice squad spots, their pay goes up. So, like, for the bottom of the food chain, actually, there's some good stuff in here. Article 46, Goodell's power on, you know, disciplinary matters has been reduced but not totally eliminated. There's some red tape in there, but they've reduced some of it. There'll be no suspensions for marijuana tests, which is like a no-brainer. They gave up on that. So, like, there's some stuff for the lower-paid guys.
So that I like.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's a horrible deal. It's probably not great because these are never great for the players. The question is, the farther you go and the closer you get to the expiration of the CBA and the closer you get to a lockout or a strike where you're losing your game check, will you be able to stick together and drive a better bargain? And you've never been able to do it in the past. Never. Ever. So as bad as the deal is, it might get worse because it usually does with you guys. Couple things for our purposes. You know, I've been big that 17th game. I'm big on the 17th game being a neutral site, you know, domestically a neutral site or whatever. Apparently, that's not what's happening. According to Ben Volen, he talked to an NFL owner who said, basically, our 10 home games a year, we don't want to lose that. So what's going to happen is you're going to flip years. And that is some years you'll have 9 home games and 8 road games. And one home preseason and two road preseasons. And then the next year it'll flip. Do you follow that?
So yeah, in other words, you get 10 no matter what. Sometimes 8 during the regular season, sometimes 9.
And you'll flip. So every other year until you go to 18 games, every other year you'll have 9 home and 8 road or 8 home and 9 road, et cetera, and it'll flip. And the 3 preseason games will flip every other year too.
Good.
I hate it.
You know what that means? It means that it'll be 2 years before they add the 18th game.
I mean, talk about how unjust.
Oh, God, it's brutal.
I mean, never mind strength of schedule. Some teams have easy schedules. Some teams have hard ones. But now you get an extra home game on top of it.
All that matters is we're not getting those stupid neutral site games. Oh, you're not going to get Pats in Denver from Red Rocks. I'm sorry, Mike.
See, but this is one of those where I look at it and say, competitively, it's not equal.
Red Rocks is cool.
It's not equal. So, like, again, think of it in these terms, that the Patriots 1 year will have 8 home games, the Kansas City Chiefs and Pittsburgh and Baltimore will all have 9, and you'll get screwed out of a game right out of the gate.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yes. It is. It's stupid. And the idea of rotating, that'll never work.
Then the
it'll last for a little while, and then they'll realize, why are we doing this? Why don't we just add an 18th game?
Yeah,
so we play 9-9.
Just add the 18th game. Get it over.
No, Maz is right. You'll have 2 years of it. It'll piss so many people off that it'll force everyone to go to 18 games because we can't stand this.
I mean, it's asinine. The idea that someone gets to play, you know, one extra game in 8 home games is 13%. Okay? Someone gets to play 13% of their games, more of their games at home is stupid. That's stupid.
That neutral site thing, I think it's just in my head. I've heard no one else talk about it. So I don't even know if it was ever considered or ever a thought, or it's just something I thought of. And I still love it. The more I think of it, the more I love it. I'd love to go to Red Rocks to watch a game. That's freaking cool. You ever been to Red Rocks?
No.
It's really more for concerts, but I mean, Murray's just doing it to prove a point.
Just doing bits.
I like Red Rocks. All right, back to your phones on a gender-free Friday after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The one place that makes the most sense, and when you really think about it, the only place I can see him really going, because there's just too many things that line up to, I think, what Tom wants at this point in his career, is the Tennessee Titans.
Okay?
The Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
Really?
Stand by.
Now we're talking.
Okay. Stand by. It's Ted Johnson. Yesterday, we can revisit the Brady Watch here on Agenda Free Friday. Everything being on the table. Charlie and Fall River on the Bruins, though. Go ahead, Charlie.
Michael, we're 72 hours from the trade deadline, the NHL. Mm-hmm. Do you think if the Bruins were to offer Rask for a first-round pick and, like, their top goaltending prospect to a team like Vancouver or Philly, somebody in the hunt looking for a goaltender, do you think there'd be any takers?
No. I don't. No. Goalies don't move like that, do they?
Especially the ones that make $7 million. I think the same way. But did you watch the Ranger game on, what was it, Sunday? With Lundqvist pouting on the bench?
So I did not. Bruins Rangers, yes. So yes. Yes. So Charlie, let me tell you, Tuca. He's going to win this one. If he gets to the spot. This time, Murray, this Game 7, Rask is going to win it.
No, I've heard you say this before.
He's going to win this one.
Every dog has a stake.
He's played pretty well for a long time now.
He's got to get there.
He was awesome last year, man.
All right. They might get, you know, if Tampa just overwhelms him. Like, all I'm telling you is, this time, Game 7 for the Cup, Rask is going to win it. And
I'm okay with Rask.
And I don't want to say that I've come around with him, because he's still got to prove it. That boy's got to win a cup. That boy desperately needs to win one. And I just think, I don't know, that's the least of their problems. And I don't feel like last year I felt better. If it's Halak, I would have felt better than I do this year. I don't think Halak has played as well. I don't think he's on his game like he was last year. He hasn't been as sharp. And if they turn it over Halak this year, I wouldn't be as confident. So the caller's talking about doing something crazy like, you know, Rask for Lundqvist or bringing Lundqvist in here. I'd be okay with that, too. He's never won one. But again, his game has fallen off. I'm going to ride or die with Rask this year.
I mean, I was going to say, I wouldn't mess with it if I were them. I think they're in a good spot with Rask right now. I wouldn't mess with it.
And if he chokes again, he chokes again. But trying to do better than the best goalie in the league this year, I'm like, I think he's the Vezina favorite.
He leads in everything.
So I'm gonna try and...
Yeah, and I wouldn't want them to trade him, but it's just if he gets in that spot again, I fully expect him to let me and everybody else down again. That's all.
He's going to win this one if they get there. We've got Chris in Duxbury on the new CBA. Hi, Chris.
Yeah, hey, guys. Great show. Couple things. The league pretty much got wise to how the Pats have exploited the buy system. I think that's a lot to do with a lot of these...
Zero. 0.0, Chris. Zero.
A little bit, Chris. A little.
Zero.
A little.
0.0.
A little.
Nat alluded to it yesterday.
And so, he's wrong. I'm right.
Really? Too much advantage for the number one seed. I think what you're going to see in a couple of years is it's going to be eight teams in each conference. They're going to go to an 18-game schedule and just get rid of the byes altogether. Get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, they don't care about the byes. They want more games. They don't care about the competitive advantage or disadvantage it gives you. If they were so worried about the Patriots' competitive disadvantage or competitive advantage of these byes, why'd they let it go for 30 years? That would make no sense. They could easily have changed that. They don't need to redo the CBA to do that. They could just do it. But they don't care about the competitive disadvantage. 0.0. They want more games.
A little bit. They care a little bit.
It's going to be the result of it, and they'll be happy with that. But it has nothing to do with the change.
I think it'll create... it gives you a better chance to avoid a team dominating like the Patriots have, and I think that they'll take that.
They would have changed it long before this if that's what they really cared about.
I didn't say it was an impetus. I said that they like it.
So it's a 0.0 on the impetus.
It's
2%. Zero. I'd go zero. Otherwise, it's never even come up. They went to it's been roughly the same system since 1978. It's never even come up. So it's only come up now because they want extra games, and this is the only way to connoiter one extra game.
Until now, no team went to 10 Super Bowls in 20 years.
San Fran had roughly the same advantage. Go back and look at San Fran's track record. They did roughly the same thing.
Wasn't as long, and people didn't hate them, and they didn't cheat.
They did. Okay, those last two things are true. But for a 20-year stretch from the early 80s to the late 90s, San Fran played in this wretched, awful division, the NFC West, with the old Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints before they got good, and it was just a horrible division. They routinely beat up on a bad division, had inflated regular season records, got buys into the playoffs, and rode it for about 20 years. No one said a word. And no one said a word about it with the Patriots either. The only reason they're doing this is to get extra inventory, and that's it. And the reducing the buy is just simply a byproduct.
They didn't go to 9 Super Bowls, and they didn't cheat.
They went to 5. They went to almost as many conference title games as you did. Here's Cam in Taunton with the Celtics thought. Hi, Cam.
How's it going today, guys? Sunday afternoon's a big one. Against the Lakers again, the Lakers are going to be motivated because of what you did to them when they played here about a month ago.
I agree,
also,
Cam.
Also, there's some rumors kicking around that the Bryant family's going to attend this game. It's going to be their first game because they're doing the big memorial for Kobe at Staples Center the next day. So the Lakers are going to be ready to go, and LeBron's not going to be tramping around the state this time going to see his son play. Now you might not have Kemba. If you lose by a couple points, you make it a competitive game, I'm not going to freak out because the Lakers are better than you. But you can't get trounced in this game. You've got to show up on Sunday.
You'd have thought there, man.
Well, so look, remember the game that they played here, the Lakers came out of the gate. They looked great in the early part of the game. The Celtics weren't ready to go, and it was like, you know, it was like they got slapped in the face. And then all of a sudden, about halfway through the first quarter, they turned it on. They played great the rest of the night. Now, here you go. I mean, to me, I think Cam's right. I think, okay, here you go. Like, LeBron is, and the Lakers are going to be a little pissed off. They get run out of the building that night, and now they get another crack at him. And I'll be honest with you, I think the Celtics are going to hang in there on Sunday. Just something suggests to me that, I don't know, it feels like they've turned a corner.
They're good.
Yeah, they've turned a little bit of a corner. I don't think they're going to get their doors blown off.
You can just say
it.
No,
you can just say it. They're good. They're good. The reason they're going to hang with the Lakers is because the Celtics are good.
No, they are good. I've always thought they were good. They're just not great.
They might be borderline great.
Nah, the NBA have to be great to win.
So now you're going to walk it back, but your original thought stands. The reason they're going to stick with the Lakers is because they're a good team.
They're still going to lose to Milwaukee in 6 max.
So
max.
Beating Milwaukee. Do you think that the Kobe thing plays to the Lakers' advantage the rest of the way? Destiny's Darlings, motivation,
yeah,
inspiration,
maybe a little bit, yeah.
Emotion, that sort of thing?
Sure. Yeah, I think that there's another reason other than just winning a title. And anytime you got veteran players who've been around the league and there's another element that makes it different, I think that can help. And so, sure. Yeah. I mean, does that mean they'll beat the Clippers? I don't know. But does it make the Lakers a little tougher to beat? Sure.
Agenda Free Friday continues. Brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. Coming up next, rough week for Red Sox owners, wouldn't you say? We'll get to that right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. There is breaking Bruins news this afternoon. They've pulled off a trade. Details right here.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.